And good evening and welcome to True Blues Radio, and we're talking round 16 of Premier Cricket. And yes, we're almost at the business end of the season. Just one more round to go as far as the men are concerned, and three more for the ladies. Tonight we're talking about round 16 from the weekend, and of course the prior weekend as well. Over the two weekends, we've also got a couple of ladies games as well that we'll elaborate on. With me in the studio once again, he's doing a great job for the Paran Cricket Club and on True Blues Radio, and we're here courtesy of SoundCloud and Mike Costello. Thanks to Mike back there. Good evening to Nick Murray.
Good evening, Zabi. Pleasure to be here. Third show for me, which is outstanding, and I think I've really taken over from Reece Adams now.
Oh, you can say you've got a hat-trick now to Reece.
Yeah, I think so. I saw him the other day, and he's lent me his full support, so I think this is now a full-time job.
All right, we're going to cover the ladder positions a little bit later on in the program, but for now, Paran played St Kilda in round 16. It wasn't too good as far as the True Blues were concerned throughout the grades. We'll start off in the fourth 11 as we always do. This game was being played at Regatti Oval, and it was St Kilda who batted first on week number one, all out for 150. James Burke took 2 for 28, Andrew Stolzenberg 2 for 5, Daniel Barnes 2 for 28 with the ball. And in reply, Paran did bat. They were at stumps that evening, 3 for 35, and came out on Saturday. Well, there was a rain-soaked wicket. Water did get under the covers, and conditions weren't certainly the same as they were the week before. Paran all out for a paltry 86, where Dylan Rees-Jones scored 43. He was the only shining light there, Nick.
Yeah, a bit of a disappointing result, this one. The Fours have been playing some fairly consistent cricket over the season. First week had St Kilda 5 for 146. Then I think took a third 4 for 0 or 5 for 1. So to dismiss them for 150 was a terrific result on day one, but losing three wickets late on day one didn't help, and then a bit of rain under the covers also doesn't help. But Dylan Rees-Jones really knuckled down. He's a really he's a young player, nephew of the great David Rees-Jones from the Carlton Footy Club, 1986 Norm Smith medalist, and he made 43, and he knuckled down, and he's occupied the number three position and bats top order, so he's one to keep an eye on. He's helps out with the curating down here, I believe, as well, and he's a really good young man, and his pre-season was really good as well. He had a hand injury, but he was at every session, so 43 is a good score for him, but he'll be looking to build on that for the end of the season.
He likes a short ball, he likes to pull and cut as well, Nick.
He does, loves a pull shot, loves a catch, and I think he loves a cover drive as well, so he's certainly got some scoring shots in his arsenal, but yeah, a bit of a disappointing one for the Fours there.
Well, they were in the top three prior to the St Kilda game. It was a game they really had to keep on doing well in, and it wasn't the case. They've now dropped to seventh. It's an all-important clash against Footscray Edgewater this week, although they can't slip out of the top eight out of finals contention, so that is good news for that fourth 11. There's certainly some talent there, and I think they'll bounce back well. There's some others to return from the top, which will push players down into the bottom grades, Nick. But our bowling, I just want to cover those figures before we go on to the third 11. Andrew Stolzenberg, six overs. He took 2 for 5. Darius Moodoo-Loy from Northern Territory, 11.5 overs, 3 for 24. And Daniel Barnes, 2 for 24. He's the skipper, of course. And James Burke coming back down from the thirds, 2 for 28 of his 10 overs.
There's certainly enough bowling options there to take 10 wickets as they did, all out 150. Guys like Sam Hill, he's a tall, fast bowler, Stolzenberg. So there's enough options there, fast bowling wise, and Jack Davies had a really good season last year and is playing well again this year. He came, I think, third in the Ryder medal in the fourth 11, and so James Burke's a handy bowler, so there's enough bowling options there to get 10 wickets. They just need to shore up the batting side of it now.
You mentioned Stolzenberg. He's only about 5'7", but he does skid on, doesn't he, move the ball away from the right hand.
He does.
He's a good prospect.
He certainly does. Knocked me over at training a few weeks ago. Just he's actually quite zippy, and he does enough with the ball to get a few nicks, so he's certainly going to be a handy player in the long run.
All right, let's go across to the third 11. This was played at the Ross Gregory Oval down at St Kilda in the precinct there. It was Paran batting first on week number one, all out for 92 all out for. Very, very disappointing. Oscar Sargent, the only one contributing with double figures, he scored 33. In reply, St Kilda scored 8 for 186 declared, where Pat Burnell took 2 for 27, Jared Tex Walker returned with 2 for 39, and in reply in the second innings, Paran, this is of course being played on Sunday, all games were played on Sunday because of the World Cup fixture, the opening fixture on Saturday, were 9 for 109, so they went within a bee's eyelash of getting done outright.
Yeah, a bit of a disappointing result this one, I think. This was probably of the four teams the most disappointing one of the weekend. Playing against St Kilda, their threes I think were two games clear on top, but they were missing their strike bowler. I think Henry Hall, who's the leading wicket taker in the comp. But to be all out for, I think, what was it, 92, is pretty disappointing. Oscar Sargent, young boy from East Malvern, Tooronga, in the mighty Eastern Cricket Association, he knuckled down after being 4 for 2, 4 for 3. But he had a real dip. With the bowling, Pat Burnell, really impressive again, 2 for 27. And Jared Walker, who's played a few bit of second 11 cricket this year, he's a really handy left-arm bowler. Big, strong lad, and to save the outright is a positive, but for it to get that close, it certainly isn't what we want. But somehow, the threes, I think they're still a very slim chance of making the finals.
Going to say, Nick, if there's one positive to come out of that loss, Paran are currently sitting, I think, 9th, 3 points out of the top 8. So all they need to do is knock over Footscray Edgewater, and in they go.
Well, there you go. I mean, and guys, that top order of Billington, Nyari, Connor, you know, guys like that, they're good players, good strikers of the ball. I'd certainly expect a much better showing from them this week.
All right, in the second, it was a very interesting affair down at the Harry Trott Oval on week number two. But on week number one, it was St Kilda, all out for 107. All out for 107. Pretty disappointing, weren't they, Nick? And in reply, St Kilda, 8 for 171 declared, where Pete Cassidy took 3 for 21 and James Martin 2 for 20. And Bryce McGain, the stand-in skipper, once again doing a good job with those young boys, taking 2 for 30. Now, in reply, Paran had a second dig. They were 3 for 63. But tell us about what happened on Sunday.
Well, very interesting conditions I heard down there. I spoke to a few guys from St Kilda and a few guys from Paran. In fact, I got a message from someone at St Kilda early on Sunday morning saying that the wicket hadn't been touched, and I wasn't so sure if I thought he might have been pulling my leg. And then our coach Peter DiVenuto showed me a photo, and there genuinely hadn't been any work done on it. There looked to be a good wicket on the side.
Sure.
So I've heard that maybe that wicket was a lot of work was put into that wicket and no work into the main one. So it looked like it hadn't been touched, which isn't what you want. It's certainly first or second 11. Well, at any level, really. That's not really good enough. So it's a shame for that to happen. But
they did box on and end up playing the afternoon out, didn't they?
Exactly. That's what I heard. There was a delayed start. I heard there was going to be a 3 p.m. start, but I think they got underway before lunch. Our bowlers bowled better on the second day. From what I hear, Cassidy and Martin all really economical. I don't know how much of that was down to the wicket, but they're both really good, honest bowlers. James Martin, real tall lad who gets some good shape on the ball. And Pete Cassidy getting his chance up from the threes, taking 3 for it to, I think, about 1.5 and over, if that. So the twos potentially could still be involved, pending, I believe, there might be an appeal going on there. That'll be interesting to see what happens there. But I think the twos, regardless of what happens tomorrow night, need to put in a good showing this week.
Yep, there's an appeal. You're right. You're spot on, Nick. This time tomorrow evening, we will know more as far as Paran trying to obtain some sort of more positive result out of that Sunday's play, the second week on down there at the Harry Trott Oval. So more to come out of that. We can't sort of say too much. That's why we're probably ad-libbing a little bit as we speak here on the show. This is True Blues Radio. We're speaking with Nick Morrie and dissecting round 16 of Premier Cricket for the guys. We are up to the first 11, and this game was played at Toorak Park, and it was a great win for the first. They continued on. They're going along very, very nicely, but we won't say too much because there's still one more round, important round to go. It was St Kilda 225 all out on the first week, where Matt Wilcox headed the bowling and took 3 for 42. Nathan McNally, 3 for 47. Adam Hutton, 2 for 25. And Steve Singh, 2 for 55. Now, we had a bat just prior to stumps on the first evening, and we were 1 for 25 overnight. And we returned, and, have a look at that scorecard. 8 for 300. Beautiful stuff. 8 for 300. That man again, Nathan Kiwi McNally, what a season he's having. 101 not out. Arjun Dhul, just keeps on keeping on, 95. David Hemp, 52.
Well, I've heard Nathan rang up Paul Amy during the week and said, I want my own article. I want a little bit of me. I want a bit of me time because I'm sensing a big one. And boy, oh boy, did he produce. He's an elite player of the competition. I was very happy to see an article about him because he is as good an all-rounder in the competition as there is. On the first week, he bowled beautifully, 22 overs, 3 for 47. He's really stood up without Bryce and even without Sam Grimwade. So he's bowled beautifully. The seam has all bowled tremendously well without James Miller, who was on a wedding the first week. The onus was put on them to really produce, and on a flat wicket at Turak Park, short boundary, or not short boundary, but a pretty solid outfield, all out 225, we thought was a perfect result because it was a 35 degree day. It felt like it was a 300 day, good old fashioned 300 day, and to get him out for 225 was superb. The bowlers did a great job, and then the batting the second week, Hemp, solid up the top. The former Bermudan captain. I watched a YouTube video of him today coaching us how to play spin.
Yeah.
So he was LBW to Muirhead. Arjun, who's played, I think it was his third game in the ones, making 95. And it was pretty, I think it was chanceless. It was a superb innings. His FIFA skills aren't that good, but he batted beautifully for 95. He deserved 100. If ever a bloke deserved 100, it was Arjun. Yeah. But Nath got the rewards. Finally got his 100 around 5:30. And a really comprehensive performance from the Mighty Blues.
Yeah, great observation and summary, Nick, because you mentioned Nathan McNally. He played second fiddle to Bryce McGain last season, where I think he took around 20 wickets and did a great job and also featured in some very important partnerships. But this season, he's really left nothing in the tray, has he?
Oh, he certainly has, and he was due a big score. I think he's had a lot of... I've never seen a person come out to bat and strike the ball as cleanly. He's just such a clean hitter of the ball. And the weekend was no exception. He just struck it beautifully, but he looked like he was pretty determined to get a big one. He got through to lunch, and I think he walked off the ground and said, I should be right now, and he certainly was. He's a really good player for the club. He's great to have around. He's just got engaged recently, so he's certainly got his life in order, and hopefully there's a couple more hundreds in the season left.
Thanks, Nick. Well said, and congratulations to the first 11 we've posted all over Facebook this week. They do regain, I should say, the Bob Parish Cup, and it's one of our most prized trophies as well. So great to see it back here in the studio as we speak tonight.
It's a beautiful cup to have, and it's playing in St Kilda. It's always a big game because it's a good, solid rivalry. We have a lot of respect for the way they play, and they've got some tremendous players, but we're certainly looking to even the ledger because it's a fairly lopsided one, but we've certainly got a few back over the last few years.
Okay, across to the ladies who played last weekend. They had the bye over the World Cup weekend just gone. So looking at the seconds, they were defeated by Brighton District in a 45-over game at Reggetti Oval. 6 for 338, the Brighton girls. Tansy Price, 2 for 69. In reply, Paran, all out for 62. They battled hard, they've tried hard, but they certainly have improved, as we keep saying, since post-Christmas, and they'll continue to get better into next season.
Yeah, I coached them a few weeks ago. It was out in Melton, which was a fair journey out for the ladies, but they're certainly improving. It was a really young side, the one I coached, and I see so much upside. I think with the coaching that's going to go on now and next pre-season, I think once they can get a full pre-season together as a group, I think this first year was always going to be difficult, but I think I see huge amount of upside for this team.
All right, and across to the first, wonderful stuff it was because Paran ladies defeated Box Hill, last year's the reigning premiers, of course. It was 2 for 130, Paran, where Jess Cameron scored 71 not out. Of course, she plays the Vic Spirit when she's not playing for Paran, along with Elise Villani, who scored 34. They defeated Box Hill, 4 for 129. Kath Hempenstall, 3 for 17 out of here at Turak Park. Well done, girls.
Yeah, they did tremendously well, and the bowling effort to get Meg Lanning out for 76 is a great result, as silly as it sounds. From what I've heard, Kath Hempenstall bowled brilliantly, 4 overs, including a maiden, which is outstanding, and she's been terrific for the club this year. I think she's captain. Is she the captain, Zabi? I'm not sure.
No, she's not. She does stand in and act when the state girls are away.
Nick, but she's done a tremendous job, and with the batting, that's what you want when your Vic players come in. Elise Villani, she joined the males for training, for fielding practice the other day, and she was throwing the ball harder than anyone, even harder than Hemp, and Hemp throws them very hard. So Jess Cameron, terrific, 71 not out, chasing it two down is a terrific result. And to beat Box Hill, who are a very strong women's side, is an outstanding result.
All right, that's the summary as far as the men and ladies are concerned. We've got just one more game of cricket over the next 2 weeks where Prahran take on Footscray Edgewaterman.
Yeah, huge, huge round for all four sides. All four sides, I think, will be able to make it if they can produce the goods. So the first 11 have the potential to finish as high as first but as low as fifth. So presents a great challenge. Footscray, I think, are just outside the eight. They're probably ninth, so it presents a good challenge for them. They've got some high-quality players. I think it might be Kite or Dean got 187 yep. for the Vic Futures side today. So they've got some good players. Dean Russ, you know, just a few. Hamish Winter, Irving, Haberfield. They've got some really good players, and down the grades, they're quite strong. So presents a great challenge for all four sides on the weekend.
Certainly does, and the opportunity to have four sides in the finals as far as the men are concerned. After the 2 week period, and the girls are up against EMP on Saturday in the first, and the seconds they venture up to Sebastopol up near Ballarat, Napoleon Sebastopol, where the girls will take on themselves, and of course Napoleon Sebastopol in the second 11, that game being played on Sunday. That's all for True Blues Radio. Don't forget the big Stonington gift this Friday night, the major fundraiser for the Prahran Cricket Club from 6 o'clock. If you're anywhere around Toorak Park, it is a wonderful night from that period of time right through until 11 o'clock under lights, Nick, and we'll do it all over again in a fortnight's time.
Can't wait for it, Zabi. Have a good night.
Nick Murray on True Blues Radio.